paid services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 309. I'm Adam, and I thought you always told us not to touch the controls. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Which laws? Whose philosophy?
Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Disused Yeti?
Mary Lang.
Faria. I just met a girl named Faria, and suddenly I found a food taster around I trust.
And Andy Nunny.
World's thickest guard.
What?
World's thickest guard.
Okay. So this week we're going to be... Sorry, I shouldn't run straight into that. Sorry, I've just had to put up with you lot for the last half hour off air. Doing my head in.
Aww.
I will say that...
Are we podcasting live?
I would have been, but I forgot.
Guess what's going on, T Butcher complaining?
Hang on, we are podcasting live, it's just you lot putting me off. Because you were going on about the GIF things, I dismantled... Oh, God, I'm running out of battery now.
I think Jeff Waddle posted a picture, just a black picture.
Yes, he did.
I'm getting the live feed.
I don't think I can get any. I've got an iPhone charger, which is not sufficient for an iPad. So look, see what happens. Oh, it's interesting. It's charging. Oh, I might better get some live stuff going on here. Let's make sure I post it to the right page this time. No, that's the APV page. I did it again. God's sake. Right, I've got to try and stretch this cable across. Okay, now. Oh, we'll go live. Right, here we go. How do you go live? You type something, don't you? Debbie.
Sorry.
You go to type something and you press the little live logo. And then you go... you type in something like episode... Oh, you are 309.
Yep.
309. I can't find the 3. Oh, 9.
I used to work live. With 9. It's a really good car. Went around the clock twice.
And... go live. 3, 2, 1, live.
And thank you for listening. Good night, everybody.
Right, I hope that stays put. Right, as I was trying to say, last time, I'll say last week, because it seems like such a long time ago, I was in Brighton and Hove Albion. Well, that's a football team, in Brighton. And
Kirby, what's joining me? Oh, thank you for speaking to us here.
And I had quite interesting time at the first aid course, and also... had a very nice meal at a Chinese restaurant.
Did you learn anything new at the first aid course?
No.
Okay.
But I did meet some quite fun people, so it was quite fun that way. Although the trouble is, I on the last night, the Tuesday night, I had the day before I bought 2 bottles of this M&S wine. I drank half a bottle one night, but was too lightweight to drink the rest of it. So I thought I'd save that for the last night, have a little party on my own. So, unfortunately, the party on me had drunk a bottle and a half. And the next morning, I didn't feel at all well.
I bet you didn't.
No.
Softy southerners, I don't know. Bloody hell. No, you're lightweight, aren't
didn't
you, mate?
Feel at all well. Hey, Ashley. Hey, right then. So, this week we're going to be looking at Enemy of the World. Now, this
Not be attempting this in really dodgy accents?
No, we shouldn't. Because the fact is, I can't be bothered to do the synopsis, and the word Debbie was so good last week, I'm just going to put my feet up.
Well, actually, to be honest, I think this could have been another four-party drag.
Hang on, this is what you say at the end. Stop jumping forward.
Yeah, I'll say it now.
Well, you said you didn't want to do it, so I'm trying to save time.
Right, I suppose we can try and do it. Okay, sorry, right, episode one, then. Here we go. They land on a beach, essentially. Yes.
Yeah, and it's not far from where you were.
What?
South Coast, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's where is it? It's Climping Beach in Littlehampton.
Yeah, that's Alan T. Butcher country.
Yeah, that's right. What he said. Yeah.
That's
what he said.
You could have gone there and taken your clothes and run the beach for us.
Ooh. Didn't you just beach then?
Well, you know it's Brighton. Yeah, come on, Debbie. It's Brighton down there.
Master, yes. Master, There are, I've pointed out to you several times.
Here we go.
Very close, that there's all kinds of filming locations close to you, and you never go to them.
I went very close to Norris Castle a few weeks ago, took a photo of Norris Castle and posted it. So what are you talking
about? Yes, I know that.
Well, look, I'm in Brighton in the next 2 weeks. I'll see if I can't stop off there for you, Kirby.
you need to take a one of those old folding beach chairs and a robot dog.
Yeah, deck chair and robot dog.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, yeah. Well,
you know, it's a pebble beach as well. Do you know that, Sir Kirby?
There's no sand on that beach. Yes, pictures show that.
Yeah, there's no sand on Brighton Beach.
So why is he building a bucket? Yeah, why does he want to build a sandcastle?
So are you saying this was filmed on Brighton Beach?
No.
No.
What are you going on about?
This was Clipping Beach.
Right.
I said it. Littlehampton.
You did. Right. Yeah. Can we get on then? Right. So they land on the beach. The doctor decides he's going for a bit of a paddle. But there's also some other people lurking by in some sort of
lurking
hovercrafty type thing.
Hey,
Alan T. Butcher. Alan T. Butcher says actually the nudist beach is near there.
Yeah, that's to that's the other side. That's the other way.
What, in Brighton?
I know where the nudist beach is on the island.
That's near,
yeah,
well, near Black
you
Island.
Guys do get around.
Anyway, back to
we just let it swing, don't we?
So, yes, the doctor, there's some people lurking about. He gets his binoculars out, he looks through his binoculars and sees what he thinks is somebody he doesn't like very much having a paddle. So he goes, I'm going to go and kill him. So they steam off towards the doctor.
Take the chance and then kill him. Yeah.
As they approach, the doctor realises it might not be a very safe situation, and they said, right, we better run. And they sort of run into the sand dunes.
Yeah, they outrun a hovercraft.
Yeah.
I mean, hovercraft are rather quick, what I remember, and they outrun it.
And not only do they that, the person on the hovercraft shooting is the worst shot ever.
Well, you know,
the bit where they're running away from the hovercraft with the kilt and skirt flapping scenario going on, anyway, it reminded me of that bit in Holy Grail when Sir Lancelot's running at the castle. And he's still the same distance away every time you go back.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Just reminded me of that bit.
The thing I noticed, when he's shooting, first he shoots left-handed, then he shoots right-handed. So, like, you know, what's his problem?
You know, the bad guys in Doctor Who are all terrible shots.
Yes. Anyway, Paul Gobert says, I assume Kirby will be doing the podcast in a Spanish accent this week.
No.
So, anyway, they get rescued by Astrid and her wig. In a chopper, and
that's what she
with a registration set that's valid until the end of the year of
2 years
2018.
Mm. Yeah,
31st
December.
And anyway, they get shot. The helicopter gets shot, but fortunately the bullet hole isn't going to go off just yet. It's got to be a bit
just
more
yet.
Cool. Yeah, I know. Exactly.
It waits until the best time of the plot to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they land at Astrid's house, and she then has a bullet hole in her arm.
A bungalow.
Still a house, even if it's a bungalow,
no,
woman.
They say bungalow several times.
Oh, okay.
There were bullets found in your bungalow.
And then,
and you know, it tears that hole in her. In her sleeve, and yet it magically goes away later.
Okay. Yes, it does. Anyway, and then they arrive at the house, and they sort of show the doctor a video of Salamander and try to talk him into pretending to be Salamander fairly quickly, actually. And then somebody turns up. Oh, that's Giles Kent turns up, doesn't he?
No, Giles Kent is with Astrid.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. He's and then they're trying to persuade.
No, Donald Bruce arrives.
Bruce, that's it.
The head of security.
Yeah, the one who looks like the bloke out of the horror Fang Rock.
Yes,
because he is
the bloke.
Shut up, Kirby.
No.
Anyway, so the rest of the next three episodes are them trying to persuade the Doctor to pretend to be Salamander. Initially, he does. He does very quickly. He goes into a little cupboard. Doesn't he comes out with his hair sort of just brushed to one side and is very quickly into the accent, but he hasn't got the sort of the fake tan on at this point.
I do like how quick the first two episodes were moving with getting Jamie and Victoria into the European zone and getting them into the house that Salamander's in. You know, it seemed very easy. If you have to pass, you could get anywhere. Yeah. Regardless of what you look like.
I mean, I work in the government. The security clearance, I know, is so tight. And these people are just wandering, hello, yeah, have a job, here's the pass, can you go, have another job, have another pass. It's like, what? Needs our security.
Giles Kent gets a pass, you know. It's like, what? How did you do that?
Anyway, so yeah, like you say, Jamie and Victoria sort of work their way into the house of Salamander, where Dinesh is, of course, who's
pretty, I liked him.
Yes, he was a really good actor, a really good character. And did you notice also that the when Jamie changed into the uniform that all the guards were wearing, it's the same costume that was from Fury from the Deep, is it? Not Fury from the Deep, the one, the fish thing. The little wetsuit.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Don't argue, Kirby. Actually, Marla says so.
I'm going to have to agree.
2 minutes are devoted to yes, it is, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to have to agree with Kirby.
Oh, shut up. Anyway.
But it's miraculous how he suddenly is killed again in episode 5.
Oh, dear, you're right there. So eventually we meet the real Salamander. And the good thing about this is that...
he creeps along eventually.
Nearly got the sentence out. That that Troughton isn't able to be convincing as Salamander and as the Doctor in a blink of an eye. Which I thought was particularly fascinating. He really did inhabit both roles so brilliantly.
He was very, very into being Salamander, wasn't he?
And he sort of owned the screen when he was on it, whatever character he was playing, which I thought was really good as well.
I like the way he was able to change so quickly from one to the other.
Even when he was being the clever thing was, is when he was being the Doctor being Salamander.
Yes.
There was a subtle, difference. And
you knew it was. You knew it was him sort of playing them around. But there was a moment where I suddenly went, really?
You fooled me.
I know, jumping ahead, the last episode, I was thinking, is he or isn't he? Even then, I knew the story. And he was so convincing as being...
I had forgotten about that until I watched it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows what a good actor Troughton was. The fact he could carry off both parts. And how long did he have to change, literally? Was it like, bang, bang, change?
Yeah.
Or should we say what a good actor the Doctor is, that he's pulling off his...
Well, I suppose to take your point, yes, Mary.
Yes, acting all round. Troughton pretending to be the Doctor, who's pretending to be Salamander. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Actors, acting, actors. Right then, so they're in the house. Salamander is scheming and creating volcanic eruptions in random places around the world just to manipulate things.
We don't actually know that yet, do we? Because we know he's
predicting. No, we get a hint of it.
Dinesh has the idea, though. He's like, it's very convenient. Yeah. How are you doing it? And it's Dinesh that sort of brings the first idea that things are not right, you know, in that sort of respect.
And also that he tries to manipulate one of the beardy bloke into assassinating...
Adorin, yeah.
Yeah, and he just can't do it, so he dies. And I love also the security corridor, which I'd forgotten about until I watched this story. It's particularly funny.
Yes.
That was good.
And he gets his dinner and then he tries to take the knife and fork away. So, how do you expect me to eat it? To eat it as a steak?
Yeah, well, he then cuts it up. He actually cuts it for him. He gives him a spoon back.
That was hysterical.
And I absolutely loved when Carla Monroe was in it, because she was so beautiful and
oh yes,
and so. Again, another sort of screen captivating actress, and it was lovely to see her looking so young, because she's been in quite a few things since then.
Well, I think what's interesting as well with Salamander's team, I mean, like, got Bruce, who is going to be, right, I'm going to completely impartial, yes.
From my t-shirt. Viewers, do you like my t-shirt?
Thank you. What he's saying is, until he's got a trial, he's proved innocent. I mean, when he does that, he treats people with total respect. I think that's why he's actually one of the good guys. You realise at the end of it, the Doctor has trusted him, don't you? Because he's one of the good guys. I mean,
Jeffrey Williams loves it.
A lot of characters there.
Just saying that Jeffrey Williams love it. I don't know if it means he loves it, he loves me, or loves the podcast, or just loves Enemy of the World. Either way, he loves it.
I think he likes your top.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Because you did say, you like my top.
Like goldfish memory from me again. Sorry, Andy. Back to the story. So moving on. And then it's sort of we meet a couple of sort of creepy characters. One of which is the chap.
Fennec.
Pardon? Bennett. A Doctor Who stalwart. I think it's his first appearance. It's so brilliant how he manages to get his eyes so close together for these parts.
Because Lord knows he wasn't born that way.
Yeah, but he must have been quite young with this shot. He's playing a character that always seems so old.
What, Milton Johns? God, how old is he? Yes.
He must have been quite young when this was shot. I think he's still alive, actually. Yeah, so he was smarmy and slimy and brilliant.
But he always is that character, yeah. Doesn't he? I mean, can anyone think of a character he's played who's not that way?
He played a sort of character, a Time Lord in The Invasion of Time, which... It was sort of one minute he was bad, next minute he was good. He was a bit,
wishy-washy.
Yeah, he was sort of like, he'll jump on what side was in sort of nearest to being in power, I think.
He's still alive. He's age 78. He's born in 1938.
So he must have been very young when he shot this story, then.
Well, he's born in 38. This was filmed in, he'd be 30 then, wouldn't he?
Yeah, so
68? 30. Yeah.
Oh, what a youngster.
Yeah, indeed. Yes.
Appeared in Doctor Who on several occasions. Better Thing in the World, Andor on Invasion, and Invasion of Time. And of course, it was also in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. Auntie Butcher, well, Ashley Hughes said Mistress, and Jeffrey Williams said both. Auntie Butcher said it's a Kirby Nine Top. Kirby Nine Top? This. Kirby Nine Top.
Your top.
It's my oldest Doctor Who t-shirt, this is. Anyway, back to the story.
I don't know. I haven't even looked to see what you're wearing.
I don't know.
He was also in Murphy's Law.
Kirby Nine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm tired, so I'm going to carry on. What bit were we up to? We're talking about. I was gushing about Carmen.
Milton Johns.
Milton Johns, yeah. The bit where they sort of. Giles Kent's in the little caravan, and the doctor's shoved into a box. Yeah. While the tough soldier sort of knocks a few bits of crockery around with a gun.
Oh, but there's plenty of air in here.
Yes. And again, he jumps out of the box. Well, that's not proof. That's not proof that Salamander's evil.
He was sticking to his guns through this wasn't he?
As he said, evil. That's because the doctor does like to say evil.
So was the guard as well. He was sticking to his guns. He used his gun to look at it the other way, didn't he?
Ah, and Anansi Butcher says Milton Johns was the same when interviewed by Toby Haydock.
Was the same what?
As Bennick?
Yes, same as Bennick. Weird. And apparently this particular production is a conversation starter, according to Facebook, because there are 10 comments so far on the thread.
Glad when I get my fast internet and I can actually see these comments.
The thing is, Toby, when we're hearing it, we're like 30 seconds ahead. So you're watching Adam react in the past. It's really weird.
Yeah. So pay attention, Debbie.
Paying attention.
Bibbly-bobbly.
So around about this time of the story, we follow Salamander into this little rocket thingy, which descends quite deep into the earth.
It's only a rocket, is it?
It's like rockety.
I did write down rocket, and I said rocket.
It's rocketish.
I thought it was a roller coaster type thing.
I suppose it was a bit. Anyway, so it ascends down to this little underground community where there's a group of people, a couple of moody teenagers.
Coming at all, that there would be this underground community.
Yeah. And it's all again, he's set up this thing where he has to get decontaminated. But there's a point. Who's the chap that he murders later on? What's his name?
Swan.
Pardon? Swan, yeah. That's right. Swan, yeah. The bit where Swan goes in and he collects the food and he finds the newspaper stuck to the bottom of the box.
Bottom of the meat box, yeah. Oh, that's terrible, that bit. Yeah.
Holiday liner.
It's terrible. It's a brilliant bit. I enjoyed that.
No, I know that, just the heart-rending idea that they've been underground 5 years.
Yeah.
And, to realise that after putting all your faith in.
Well, since we know they're down there right now, let's go and get them.
Yeah, we could go and get them, yes.
Very good, Kirby. Yes.
Right, let's go.
They would be.
Anyway.
I just wonder how he got Billy the storks down there.
So anyway.
I mean, that capsule that he barely fits in, caves that he, that are another way down there. I mean, that's got to be a super long way down.
I think it does appear to be a super long way down, considering that, like you say, where they got out from the caves as well.
There's about four different ways down there, aren't there? Because the way they got down in that, as you call it, the rocket. Mm. It's the way they went down from the control room, records room, and the way they got out from the beach. I mean, how many different ways are there down to it? Do you think those people down there, she's so thick, they can't work out and get out?
Yeah, it takes so long for the elevator to go down there.
Yes.
You wonder how long it's taking to climb it.
Yes, as many away as the plot requires.
That capsule goes down and down and down. So, yeah, it's got
to
be. You haven't got the cameras.
Hello.
For people to actually watch what's going on. It's like.
Hello.
Sorry, Master.
Hello. I said, to make it a bit shorter, as many ways as the plot requires. No.
I didn't catch a word of that, sorry, Adam.
Well, listen, for God's sake.
We were talking about it.
Yeah, we're having a conversation about it.
I'm just saying.
What did you say, Adam?
You asked the question. It might have been a bit of a rhetorical question. How many ways were there down there? And I said, as many ways as the plot requires, and then therefore we could move on to the next bit and not have to talk about this particular.
What's the hurry?
The hurry is half an hour's wasted. I'm quite tired.
Discuss how. They got there and back in like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and
took forever to go down. Or maybe he just really liked going in that thing and made it go spurty all over the place.
Jeff Waddle makes a really good point. He says Wallander is on in 20 minutes, so I think he's trying to, like me, move things on a bit.
Adam, if you want to leave, it'll be done in twenty minutes. Adam, just leave the recording set on. We'll carry on the podcast. You can pick it up later, okay, mate?
I'll just get on with it. I was up to the bit.
I didn't know you were a fan of Wallander.
I'm not. Shut up.
I
like Wallander.
Yeah. Never seen it.
I've never seen it. Back with the elevator. scenes from Forbidden Planet going down into the Krell city. Hello.
Yes, we are listening. Yes.
Krell City?
I said for Forbidden Planet.
Yes.
Yeah. You missed that completely.
It reminded me of going of the elevator going down into Forbidden Planet.
That didn't come through, Kirby. We missed
that. All we got was Krell City.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all we got.
Can we move on?
No.
Right.
No.
So, if I can remember where I got up to. While Salamander was down in underground, the Doctor and Kent and Faria were plotting they sort of being chased around a little bit by Burr. What's his name again?
Faria.
No, not her. The bloke with the eyes closed together. What was his name?
Bennick,
yeah. Chased around by him and eventually resulted in the death of poor Faria, who had quite a good death, actually, quite a dramatic, and her last line was quite funny. You can't kill me twice.
Yeah.
not unless it's a James Bond film, of course. Anyway, Anne-Marie Blackall says, lol. I don't know who's laughing. She's laughing. I do apologise. I'm quite tired. Anatee Butcher says, Wallander, that's a sort of kangaroo, isn't it? Ashley Hughes says, get on with it. Thank you, Ashley.
And
Jeff Border says, Forbidden Planet ?" Who won .co.uk won't be pleased. So, the Doctor, while Salamander's down underground, decides to do his Salamander impression, but Bennett becomes a bit suspicious because he knows that he's been told that Salamander, you know, is not to be disturbed, essentially. He's not allowed to open the door to the room where he's supposed to be holed up, and then he finds him elsewhere. And there's a point in which you think he's overheard the Doctor sort of talking.
Yes, because he's right behind them.
That's right.
You don't know how long he's been listening.
Yeah, you don't know how long he's been listening.
What observance are they? You know, think they're supposed to be so careful, but yet that's a twonk there around the corner.
And then there's a big scene where Salamander and Kent sort of get back together, and it's the Doctor and Kent, actually. Kent thinks it's Salamander, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, because he finally gives the Doctor what he wanted to hear, and meanwhile Astrid's been told down in the caves that it was Giles Kent who took them down there.
Yeah, and also Astrid's the one that finds the dying, what's his name again? Swan. Yeah, the dying swan.
Dying swan. Oh, yeah, excellent. You beat me there, Debbie.
I love it when Astrid shows up down there, the way they all run away and hide behind things.
Or hit her with broomstick.
That was really good, that scene. I loved that scene. I thought it was brilliant.
Run away! But they don't actually attack them, do they? Just wave it in the air, and there's poor Astrid there cowering, and they're just waving broomsticks and things like that. I mean, are they just bloody hits?
That actress, the actress who played Astrid.
They're gentle people, they're just threatening her. That's
I know, but the actress who played Astrid, she really did act her heart out through this story, and especially in that scene, and the bit where she finds the dying swan.
Is this ruler contaminated? And, that was one of my quotes.
I think she would have made quite a good companion, actually.
Oh, yeah, the companion group is brilliant, isn't it? Yes.
And then there's the big sort of build-up to the demise of Salamander, who shoots at close range.
And misses.
He shoots him in the shoulder.
He gets him in the shoulder, yeah.
And he follows him through a little hole.
What's the point of shooting the shoulder? Killing him later.
To make the scene last longer, that's what
they they're all
appalling shots.
They're all watching it. They're watching it through video cameras as well.
I think they're all bloody Star Wars stormtroopers, aren't they, who cannot shoot straight to save their lives.
So he follows him into a little hole and shoots him again. He got a bit of blood from a shoulder injury, but he shoots him in the chest and he goes...
He follows him into the place where the detonator is.
Hey? Yeah, very convenient. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's one lever. It's one lever pull down to blow the place up. I mean, for goodness sake. Yes, he's going to do something.
He doesn't kill him. And a poor old Asher goes, oh, Ken's dead. Salamander's dead.
Some people insist that there were no such things as wobbly sets in old Doctor Who. These cave walls were wobbly.
Camera was shaking up and down.
The bit when they're all in the lab and they're all looking to look at Astrid and the walls wobbling.
Yeah, the walls are wobbling, yeah.
Anyway, so Jamie and Victoria have been told by the Doctor to wait in the TARDIS for him. Of course, Salamander turns up. Jamie invites Salamander into the TARDIS and Salamander sort of gestures for him to take off, and he sort of nearly does press the buttons and realises he's not supposed to. And then the actual Doctor turns up and they have a little bit of a fight between themselves.
But brilliantly shot. The Salamander was just faking it because he didn't know what to press.
I know. But it was a great...
Well, that's not you know now, but that's not what you said.
I'm trying to tell the story. And there was a brilliantly shot scene for the time of them sort of being face to face and everything like that. And of course,
that was brilliant. I loved that.
The Doctor presses a few buttons, or somebody presses a few buttons, and Salamander flies out the doors into some sort of void, I suppose.
Time vortex. Salamander that hit the buttons.
And that's the end of the episode.
It's the time vortex, according to Wiki.
Mm. Yes. So that's the end of the episode. So, I'm just going to say what I think of it. It's an absolutely brilliant story. Absolutely loved it from start to finish. Really, really good. Great characters. I'm not absolutely perfect. There's some little holes and silly things happen, like you say, about the wobbly sets and stuff. But as a story and the acting and everything like that, I just absolutely thoroughly loved it. This was probably the second time I watched it, because obviously I watched it when it first came out. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant story. Sorry, you lot hate it. I don't care. It's brilliant. Debbie, what did you think?
I loved it.
What?
There you go. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure what to expect. I'd obviously read about it.
You've seen it before?
No, I'd never seen it before.
Ooh. No, she wasn't with us when that first came out. And
I'd never seen it before. I've not seen, as I said when we first started the Troughton era, I've not seen any of his.
Did you watch it then? Did you watch it on DVD? Or?
I watched it on Daily Motion.
Of course it's on Daily Motion, the naughty sods. Shouldn't be on there, should it?
Kirby starts swearing.
I watched it on Daily Motion and I absolutely loved it. It was, as you say, the characters were brilliant. There are obviously some classic characters, but my favourite character was Bruce, Donald Bruce.
He reminded me of James Callaghan.
He was just so straight and he overreact. He sort of left that to Bennick and Salamander and everybody else, and he just carried on through it a stalwart and just, I'm doing my job. That's what I'm doing. But I'm doing my job for the people, not for you, you know. And it was. I just loved that all the way through. The only thing that I didn't enjoy was because every time you were set up with this wonderful, you know, oh my God, did he poison the food on the tray and things like that? But then I knew that Victoria and Deborah Watling and Fraser Hines were on holiday during the fourth episode, so I knew they weren't going to be in it. Whereas if I hadn't known that, I would have been going, oh my goodness, what's happened to Victoria and Jamie? Where are Victoria and Jamie? Whereas I was like, yeah, they're off on holiday in limbo somewhere for the episode. That was sort of, I wish I hadn't read so much about it beforehand because I was so into every episode. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. The acting was brilliant. The wobbly sets were adorable. And even though it was six episodes long, I watched it over a good long time and really enjoyed it. I felt it really worked as a story. There you go.
Well, there you go. Okay. By the way, some comments come up. Jeff Waddle says, Kenneth Branagh may be in season 10, but now this is the last season of Wallendorf.
Series.
Shut up. Alan T. Butcher said, Branagh is 13. And then he says, Griff is the standout best character of all time. What's that got to do with Doctor Who?
They're on a different conversation.
He's talking about Griffin the Chef.
Oh, Griffin the Chef.
Oh, he's brilliant. Right. He was brilliant. He was.
Oh, he was brilliant. There, yeah, you're all going to die.
Oh,
the course was ruined by this.
Sorry.
The second course was ruined by that.
That's what you're talking about. Sorry, Alan.
That was going to be my next quote if someone had taken disused Yeti.
Sorry, Alan, no, I got that one wrong, didn't I? So who are we on now?
Well, that was me.
Oh, Kirby, what did you think?
I loved it.
Yay.
I loved it as much this time as the time before when we reviewed it about a month after it was released.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. It's so good, and it moved along so well. That I didn't know until reading it later that Jamie and Victoria were not in episode 4.
Oh right, so I didn't notice that.
I mean, it just moves right along there, and the story, you get caught up in the story, and it's a fine little story.
It is indeed
another one of Troughton's masterpieces.
Excellent,
wonderful.
So
one of the great things about this one is that this was the first directorial by Barry Letts.
It was. I forgot to mention
and
that. Well
son,
done.
And Troughton's son appeared in it.
And Troughton's son, yes.
Who was Troughton's son then?
He was one of the guards. He wasn't credited. I put a picture on Facebook yesterday.
Okay. Yes, yeah.
I suppose that's a well done, Kirby.
Thank you.
Okay, Andy, what did you think?
Right, well, I'm slightly mixed here because I enjoyed it, but I think it was too long. I think it could have been cut down to a 4-part.
I didn't
part.
Think it was too long.
Yeah. No, I didn't either.
Excuse me, Kirby, is your name Andy?
Ooh.
Andy, you just have a short attention span.
I'm just
right.
Disagreeing with you. I can disagree.
Let me disagree at the end. No, right, I enjoyed it, but I think it could have been cut down to 4-parter. There was a lot of running around. I think it was very. I think the way it was done, you had the different storylines going on. You had the above-the-surface storyline, and the below the surface storyline. I'm doing hand gestures here, which just didn't work. But I do think it could be cut down. I found it dragged a little bit in the middle.
Right.
But yes, I did enjoy it. It's a very good story. I think the concept of it is very good. Because where you've got some people who are... It's like... not the Green... Is it the Green Death? No, not the Green Death. What's the one, the Pertwee story?
the Pertwee story.
there's a Pertwee story. The one with Mike Yates is the last story. Which is very similar.
His last story was Planet Spiders, wasn't it?
I think so.
Come on, folks. It's the one where they think they're on a spaceship, don't they?
What? Invasion of the Dinosaurs?
Yes, sorry, yeah, that's it, yes. It's a similar story to that.
I haven't seen that one.
All right, okay. Invasion of the Dinosaurs, similar story where you think you've got people who are taken out of their environment, tucked away, said, the world's been destroyed, you're now being kept safe, so the world's ready for you. In the Invasion of Dinosaurs, it's a new world. Here, it's the same world when it's safe again. But I think the storyline works.
Well, maybe they got the idea from this story.
Well, who knows, but that's where you come. But I think it dragged a bit for me in the middle. But I think the concept is very, very scary. I think at the time, again, with the Cold War, I mean, Adam and you, it's slightly before our time, because obviously we're the oldest amongst here. But you can see why it would have worked for people there who live in the Cold War, who could appreciate the fact that there could be a nuclear war. You might have to go to the bunkers. God knows how long you're down there for. So people could relate to it. So I think that's the way it worked really well. It's a story people could understand and think, this is something I can relate to. So yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but slightly too long.
Thank you, Andy. So now, everybody.
Yeah, prepare yourselves.
Right, I need to step away from the microphone slightly because I need to go and...
You need to go to the bathroom, yes.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's the effect of my operation yesterday. I need to go now. Sorry, guys.
Not being funny. You completely ruined the introduction of Mary.
Did the music...
Well, I'm sorry, but I had an operation yesterday, which I've never had before in my life, and I need to go and...
Just go.
When you hear this music, you shut up and let Aunt Mary speak.
Well, I did not think it was too long. I thought this was very well done, very well written. Every episode had twists and turns to it that were surprises. And
hang on, Mary.
What? Even having seen it before, I completely forgot about the underground people. So that was a revelation again when he went down there and met up with them. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole different twist.
My revelation's another story.
But I did have some random thoughts that I'm going to... I'm going to lay on you here.
I'm getting ready.
Was this still like tea time? Was this shown during tea time?
Yes.
In Britain? Okay, because to me, this is a very dark story. A lot of violence.
There's quite a lot of violence.
Well, the bit with the ketchup on Giles Kent's head was brilliant.
Yes, I forgot about the ketchup. Yeah.
Bennett getting almost sexual excitement over potential torturing of Vicky. Victoria.
Yes, he did enjoy that, didn't he?
Yeah, and even the hints, you know, that he had a great childhood. Because he, you know, even young, he was this way. I just think it's an awful dark story for tea time. And I got an amusement over the costumes that the underground people were wearing. I think the costume department must be the same from the previous story, where everybody was in white, but they had all those painted designs on their
clothes. Yeah.
And here we had it again, more white clothes with painted designs. So I like that. And of course, I already brought up about how, you know, how deep the tunnel is. But, I mean, it didn't take anybody any time at all to go through the caves to, you know, get up and down through there. And also, the travel time between Hungary and Australasia.
Well, they said it was 2 hours by rocket, didn't they?
And yet, you know, they would leave one scene, and 2 minutes later, they were in another scene. You know, in the other country, and it's like, whoa, these people, you know, they must have rocket packs on their backs or something as quickly as they're getting from one place to another. So those are my random thoughts. But yes, overall, really enjoyed it. Loved the surprises and the twists and turns of, you know, people you thought were good are now bad and who you thought were bad and now good. I liked all that.
That's good. But I did. There was quite a lot of James Bond influences in this story as well.
Yeah, there was. I mean, this is like foreshadowing of Pertwee here.
Well, it's just because there was Nick's a lot of ideas from James Bond. There were helicopters and the sets were quite Bondy. But good. They've got some more messages come through on the feed. Jeff Waddle says he's going to have to watch the last 2 minutes of the Antiques Roadshow while waiting for Wallander. What's that about? Then Anne-Marie Blackall says, lol again. So I quite like the fact that people are actually finding this funny. Ashley Hughes says, quiz time. So it sounds like he's off to the pub for a pub quiz. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan joined. Jeff Waddle said, I'd like to live in Sweden. It's a bit cold there. But there's lots and lots of nice looking blonde women. Okay, right. So that essentially sums up.
I turned off Wi-Fi on my phone and joined the video thing for just a few seconds just to try and see your shirt, which I did see, and then I got Bergman, back out.
I'm like this, you can't see it. But you should have said, I've got it up now. There we go, shirt.
Yeah, we're flashing.
I did. You threw your hands back in joy for something.
I was waiting for Mary like this.
Yeah.
She said she'd been lying.
I did see it. And hopefully in a few weeks when I have my fast internet connection, I'll be able to actually watch the video.
Anyway, right. So moving on, we got some feedback. I've got feedback from last week that we couldn't actually, because where I was driving, I couldn't actually forward this to...
You said you were going to try and add it in.
I added it, I think, didn't I? We listened to last week's show. Pretty sure I put Ian's on.
You were going to...
No, I did. I definitely put Ian's in last week. And if you bothered listening to the episode...
Sorry, I've been at work all week.
Oh, here we go.
That's the first
time. I've been at work all week too, but I still threw Ian's stuff in. Right then, this is some feedback from that I wasn't able to include last week. Here we go, Debbie. I really need a drink.
I wish you'd send it over quicker than that, because you primed me up.
I sent it over very quickly.
Debbie. Oh no, we have to wait now.
Now it's here.
Of course it's there. I sent it just a few seconds ago.
It only arrived just after you said, here you go, Debbie. And I had to... Just like, cue me up and leave me hanging.
I'm going to crack open a pan.
Dear 20 megabiters.
They can see my pants.
For God's sake. Sorry. The Ice Warriors is, of course, a closely studied inverted physics.
Sorry, viewers.
What is going on?
Sorry, I got up to get a can of lager. But I forgot.
Showing us his pants.
My pants were on view to the six. Well,
you can just watch the recording later.
I will.
I'll delete it.
Tell you what, keep going. I'll show you my Operation Bruise if you're not careful.
Sorry, Alan T. Butcher. Do you want me to start again?
Actually, who said it's sexy, sir?
Dear 20 megabiters and pants, the Ice Warriors. A closely studied inverted exposition of the global warming phenomena we now face.
You said phenomenon.
Flipping the overheating for overcooling. The archaeoherpetological and exobiological discovery in the ice is obviously a personification of the hidden danger.
You love it. Throw these words in.
By causing changes in climate paradigms.
He's just showing off.
Yes, I got it right.
Yes, you did.
I probably won't get the next one right. He's going to surprise me. Miss Garrett and her staff struggle to take action to slow the glacial progress rolling relentlessly over the world. Leader Clint holds back the team, reducing them to techno-chattel by refusing to either hypothesise or be decisive without the complete proof of the computer's endorsement. This shows the dangers of waiting for more proof at risk of leaving it too late to act effectively. Penny's neo-Luddism out in the cold and turning his back on scientific action, sometimes with a bear behind, otherwise points out the dangers of another dangerous attitude. See, I got the joke, Alan T. Butcher.
Alan T. Butcher says the moon is out earlier. Don't know what he's referring to. Jeff Waddle said the crack in space and time. I'm not going to swear.
Adam, what you got started, huh?
We also learned, taken away from Sid James's apparently benign influence, Bernard Breslau can go off the scale as a monster, and without Gromit, Wallace loses all sense of purpose and affiliation with his fellow man. Finally, Scottish men are not all as clean-cut and civilised as Jamie. Some of them are hairy and talk funny like Storr and Jeff Waddle. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Right, there's some more from Alan T. Butcher coming up shortly.
Jeff Waddle, your addition, or did Alan actually write that?
that was a
lovely picture. Anyway, there's some audio feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Paul Gobert from Guernsey.
Hi, Paul.
With my reviews for both the Ice Warriors and the Enemy of the World.
Whee!
First off, I didn't get a chance to finish the Ice Warriors in time for the last podcast, so I thought I'd just add it onto this one. To give it some context, it took me 3 attempts to watch this.
What?
Ooh, I just didn't enjoy it. Patrick Troughton's great. Jamie's good too. Victoria continues to bounce from irritating to intelligent and back again. I like the design of the Ice Warriors and their excellent use of Lego hands. Well, I just found the story a bit all over the place, to be honest. I struggled to keep my attention. Now, up to date with this week's story, the enemy of the world.
Yes.
One half of two most recent discoveries with Next Time's Web of Fear. This was a brand new watch for me, and boy, did I enjoy it. Patrick Herman absolutely excels in both roles in this story as both the Doctor, the hero, and the protagonist, Salamander. An intriguing story with the underground twist added in. My only issue was that after about episode 3, Jamie and Victoria were mostly out of the way. This has become one of my favourite stories so far. It's absolutely good. Fantastic.
Excellent.
Next time, the Web of Fear. Mm. Well, most of it anyway. Mm. Catch you later, guys. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. You are, of course, correct.
Thank you, Paul.
Some more stuff's come on the feed. Tansy Butcher says, another bear behind. Ashley Hughes says, does it rhythm with the clucking bells?
Wrong.
Says rhythm on the...
Yeah, it does say rhythm.
Rhythm.
Yeah. Rhyme with clucking bells.
Sorry, I got slightly distracted then by that. We've got some more feedback. And it's this one, which I'm just about to forward to the lovely Mrs. Melrose, who absolutely loves reading out these messages.
Dear 20 megabyters. Wow, that's a long one.
That's what she's... What, I only showed my backside.
Doctor Who and the Little Hampton to Australia Beach wormhole. The enemy...
Pardon? What did you say then?
Doctor Who and the Little Hampton to Australia Beach wormhole.
I thought you said Beach Whale then, referring to me when I stood up.
Sorry, it was making me laugh. The Enemy of the World is, of course, a closely studied treatise on the current slide to a Trumpian world. Once again, employing a characteristic inversion, our antagonist, the Trumpish figure, is a Mexican that is causing earthquakes that make walls fall down. He is named Salamander, with all its fiery associations, alluding to Trump's signature hair and incendiary attitudes. Giles Kent is clearly Hillary Clinton, formerly on side with Trump, but now opposing him, but actually wanting to supplant him by achieving the world domination he is pursuing. The people entombed by Salamander are obviously the Republican Party, imprisoned by their beliefs that the world was destroyed in a cataclysmic disaster, President Obama, whereas the world, in fact, is continuing normally, apart from their own work causing hardship for people, which Salamander is using to gain power by fear. We also learn that, taken away from Sid James' apparently benign influence, Bill Kerr can turn from a bumbling comedy sidekick with Tony Hancock, not far from Kent, to a ruthless, cynical megalomaniac called Giles Kent. And of course, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and you can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of them, all of the people, all of the time, unless you put on a Mexican accent. Thank you, Alan T. Butcher. Finally, and most importantly, we also learned that Littlehampton in West Sussex can easily pass for an idyllic Australian coastal resort. Our summer season for day trippers is well underway. No need to book, just turn up. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
That's Alan T. Butcher, everybody.
The tongue twister, Alan T. Butcher.
So, bonus episode of Alan T. Butcher there. We have some audio feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Me!
Enemy of the World by David Whittaker. This is set in the year 2018. The countries of the world having united into various zones. The TARDIS arrives at Cape Arid, Western Australia. It was filmed on a beach in Sussex.
Hell's teeth, Auntie Vanessa.
The Doctor finds he looks just like the would-be dictator, Salamander. As they are using such a well-worn idea, we should not take the plot, or the accents, too seriously. Astrid is shot in the arm. The Doctor treats her through a hole in her blouse. For the sake of 1960s TV sensibilities, I suppose. Victoria and Jamie infiltrate the headquarters of the European Zone, while the Doctor investigates Salamander's research base at Kanawa, New Guinea. None of the people look like they are from New Guinea. Salamander not only has sunlight storage technology that can multiply crop yields, It can also control earthquakes and volcanoes. The source of all this seems to be a couple of dozen blonde people who have been locked away underground for 5 years.
That's ABBA.
Blondes must be smarter than you give them credit for. When Salamander found out the Doctor was impersonating him, there was bound to be some fallout. Salamander fell out of the TARDIS. I have some ground rules. I threw the rule book into the coffee grinder. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. He's back, everyone.
Yay!
There's a further a comment on the comment thread. Jeff Waddle says, Littlehampton, that's what my missus calls me. Don't know why.
That's what she said.
Guess what?
Teapot.
Great. It's now time for this week's edition. If you won't get this one,
I will.
Yeah, so I should have prepared myself a bit better. I'm now writing the names down. I should have written down a while back to be ahead, but I've got lined paper. Which is very novel. Lined paper, look.
Why? Right. We don't ever use lined paper.
Normally I draw the lines myself, but I'm actually using lined paper. It's very...
Ignore the lines.
Right,
we never seem to have lined paper when we do the scores.
No, we don't. Right then, so I put the Joker in, because Debbie forgot that last week.
I know.
And also, Kirby... Sorry, Debbie. We'll go with Debbie first. Who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
You...
Oh dear.
I think you've been sneaky this week.
Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the question?
Debbie.
Okay.
Debbie will.
Mary?
Did you see the picture she took of the notes that she took?
Yeah. She's been there before, and her notes are copious.
I've been busy. Right. Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead?
You.
Fools. Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Debbie.
And I haven't got a joke here, but I think that Kirby is going to be
it's maniacal laugh.
That's a vote of confidence. I heard one, yes.
So, Jeff Wardle says, play your bloody jokers.
Yes.
And then he says, Debbie FTW, which I think is for the win. I think he thinks you're going to win, Debbie. So, let's get underway with the quiz. I should play a little jingle after that, say, because that's what they do on game shows. I just need to find the file that's on here somewhere. Where's it? Oh, there it is, right. Right, first question. No, it's asking me for a free update for pages. I don't really want that at the moment. Okay, first question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
I'll just get my jingles ready.
That's what she said. There we go.
hang on. I can't get my jingles ready.
That's what she said.
Hang on, I've got to move that page there. Ah, now I've got my jingles ready. Okay, right then, are we ready? Debbie?
Yeah?
Who passes the binoculars?
See, he is being tricky this time.
Can nobody hear me?
Let's see your help.
Was it,
That's one right out of your repertoire of questions, by the way, that one.
Is it Anton? Yeah.
Anybody?
No.
No chance.
No.
Well, good.
No.
The answer was Rod passed.
Oh, I got his name down as well.
Kirby.
Master.
Where is Anton when he calls Astrid on the intercom?
I know.
Oh, bugger. Beat me to this.
I don't know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Is it 10 miles west of Cape Arid?
Oh.
Yeah. The first ding of the night.
Well, you could have been really, really mean and said sitting on the hovercraft.
Yeah, I almost said that.
To which you would have had points deducted for.
Suspecting.
For silliness. I'll just drop my pen.
Don't deduct it for silliness.
Mary.
Yes.
What does the Doctor think human beings' favourite pastime is?
I know.
And I'll use a joker on this.
Yes.
Trying to destroy one another.
See, that's how you play the game, listeners. I should give her an extra point
for
playing the game properly.
That was my high point.
J- Jeff Wardle says, by the time this blooming text catches up with the quiz, it'll be like that two Ronnie's Mastermind sketch. You're talking about that's Viaduct, isn't it? They used to play that on the radio. You ask the question answer the question with the previous question. That's about it. Next question goes to Andy.
Mm-hmm.
What does Jamie call when he punches one of his pursuers?
Oh, I know.
No idea.
Ooh,
no.
Good, that's a point for me, isn't it? Actually. Go on then, Mary.
She knew.
Pardon?
I said I knew.
Yeah, go on then.
You said Mary.
He says Brigadoon.
That'll do. That's what I had written down. I think it's a Craigatora, the actual word that I had in the paper. It does come up as Brigadoon on the thingy, so even though it's incorrect, it's correct. It's very mm-hmm. rare you get that, an incorrect answer that's correct. Well done, Mary. Andy. Well, I've done Andy. Sorry.
No, it's not me, no.
Debbie.
Yes.
What date does the helicopter license expire?
I know.
I'm going to play my joker.
Oh, she's playing her joker, everybody.
31st of December 2018.
Ah, damn. Yeah, and I got it written down as well. So you, Kirby.
I brought it up during the
everybody
conversation.
Yeah, but I've got the whole sign written down just in case that's not sneaky.
You could have just taken a shot with your phone or something. Kirby.
Master.
Where does Astrid keep her medical kit?
Ooh.
I know.
The bathroom, that's right.
Oh. Yeah. Got there in the end, didn't we?
Kirby.
Mary, right. Well, you didn't know it enough to raise.
I didn't know it enough for a joker. No.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What does the doctor say when Astrid asks if he is a doctor of divinity?
I know.
Oh, why didn't I write that quote down? I'll have to pass because I won't get it right.
Go ahead, Debbie.
You'll run out of doctors in a minute.
Yeah. Yes.
Andy.
Okay, yep.
What is Astrid's surname?
Ooh. I know. God.
No, it's not God.
I've seen it. There's actually got a Facebook friend who used it. No, I'll let it go. No, I don't know.
Good. Who said I know first? Because everybody chimed
in. I did.
Go on then, Mary.
Ferrier.
Right, so let's have a score update, shall we?
No, let's not.
Yes, let's.
For the viewers, there's the score update. In last place with no points, it's Andy.
Yeah.
In fourth place with 2 points, it's Kirby. In
joint. See, that's why my maniacal laugh. I'm not going to do well.
In the lead, Debbie, Mary, and Adam, all with 6 points each.
Yay.
And this question goes to Debbie.
Won't occupy this for long.
Yes. Debbie, who does Astrid work for?
Giles Kent.
I know.
Oh.
There's a long pause. We got there in the end. Kirby.
Master.
Which dictator does Victoria mention as an example?
I know.
Joker.
Oh.
Napoleon.
Now they're getting the hang of this Joker business now. Mary.
Yes.
What does Salamander announce in his orbit?
In his orbit?
I know.
Well, it's that sun thing, sun collector.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, give it to her.
That's near enough.
Mark 7 sun catcher.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right.
I suddenly
saw
that.
That's exactly right.
I wrote that down. Wow. Right.
Andy.
Yep, okay.
What did Salamander invent?
I know.
I'm getting no points here. No, got it. Not got it, no.
Go on in, Kirby.
The sun store.
Oh, that'll do. Sun catcher I've got in my thing. But that'll do. That's a similar sort of thing.
The sun store collects the rays from the sun and stores them.
Oh, shut up. I've given you the point. Shut up. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Salamander... I've done that one, sorry. For what areas was Giles once deputy security leader? I'll say that again.
North Africa and Europe.
Well, I won't have to say it again. She knows it anyway.
Yes.
Kirby.
Kirby, what is what is Bruce's first name?
I know.
I got it written down somewhere. Donald.
All these references to Trump. I thought he might have remembered that one. Mary.
Yes.
What nation does the Doctor surmise Salamander was from?
I know.
We all know that one.
Yeah, I think we all know, yeah.
From... What is it? Mary Merida? A Yucatan.
Nope.
That's not a nation.
No. Right.
Oh, Mexico?
Oh.
Give it to her.
Give it to Yucatan's in Mexico. I thought you wanted something more specific, because I know you.
A nation. The nation of... I've got to deduct my own points now, thanks to you. Yes, you got the points. It is Mexico. Andy. What research station does the Doctor want to watch from a safe distance?
I know.
So is that my question, was it?
It is yours question, yes.
Right, so I've lost my place in my notes. Okay, oh, flipping heck. Where are we going?
I can even tell you what the picture
was. That was not the question.
Yucatan.
No.
No.
Right. Did you say you knew Kirby?
Yes, Kanoa.
Right, and score update.
I can tell, by the way, that's the Dungeness power station.
Thank you.
In Kent.
I've got some. Jeff Wardle says Ferrier. Jeff, and then he says Giles Kent, he's bent.
Oh dear.
Alan G. Right. Butcher says Store was in the last one, and Jeff Waters says no bloody EU in this world. I want to go there. Oh, I won't. Oh, it says I want to go there. Oh, I don't want to go. Oh, no, I see. No, there's no EU in the world that they're in.
He's Brexit. He's voting Brexit.
Yes, I don't know what I'm
voting. Master.
I'm voting Chinese takeaway. Yes.
Master, did you notice I also posted a picture of the two different costumes?
No, I didn't notice that. Underwater I'm busy at the moment.
It's in the thread for the comment thread for your video. Yeah, okay,
I'm busy. I'm doing a quiz and
you just
putting
read
up
some
these
of
answers here. Let's see, there's for the viewers. There we are. There's the current scores. Yeah, for the listeners, the current scores are in last place with no points. It's Andy.
Aww. Yay.
Andy, welcome to my world.
Yeah. Second, what the hell?
Well, in fourth place with 8 points, it's me. And in the lead with 10 points each, it's Debbie, Kirby, and Mary.
Woo! Yeah, exciting.
Things are heating up.
Yes, Debbie gets the next question.
Yeah.
How long have the volcano in Dinesh's zone been dead? Or how long has the volcano... Oh, the volcano...
16th century.
She even can't read the question out, she gets it right. Kirby.
I knew it too.
Kirby, who played Farrier?
Master. You're not letting me do my master business. Why not?
It's a quick, easy question. Who played Farrier?
Carmen Monroe, one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Well, she was then. I wouldn't say she is now. She's in her 80s now, but
well,
she certainly was there. I'm not too sure her hair wasn't a wig, though, in this particular story. Do you know, her hair actually reminded me of the wigs that they had in the UFO.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, right, Mary.
Yes.
What happened to the Naj Gardens? Sorry, a misleading question. What happened at the Naj Gardens?
That's where Jamie and Victoria meet up with Astrid.
Whoa!
Oh, okay.
Almost word for word.
Okay, yay.
Hang on, I'm just going to position my... icon over.
See what happens when you really like a story?
Just positioning the thing over the relevant
sound
effect.
Master?
For the next question.
Master?
Yes?
I don't have subtitles, and I heard that as Large Gardens. The third bench on the south walk of the Large Gardens.
Whatever. Right. Doesn't
matter,
though.
It wasn't your question anyway.
Doesn't matter. It wasn't your question. got some.
Well, it wasn't the answer.
Right, here are the current comment threads. Jeff Woodward, Jamaica. No, she went on her own accord.
Adam
T. Butcher says, is Adam's hair a wig? About.
Like a skull cap.
Yeah, but there is, huh?
Whose question's next? I've lost where I was now. Was that Mary's? Right. Oh, yeah, Andy. Yeah, so I've got the icon. God. Sorry, the mouse paused over the appropriate sound effect. Here comes Andy with this question.
Oh, God. Okay.
Right. What is a Mexican word, or is a Mexican word for sorcerer?
I know.
Debbie beat me to it.
Well, next thing we're in Danish Hungary, so ain't that so? Not a clue.
Come on in, Debbie.
I didn't get in fast enough.
Brujo.
Pardon?
Brujo.
Brujo.
Did you hear Brujo. That ding? It was quite faint. Did you hear the ding?
No, I'm yes. here.
Nice.
Yeah.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I didn't want to do it again anyway. Right, Kirby.
Wait, is it Wait, it's
that
my...
That was Andy's question.
Yeah, that was Andy's question, so it's not, not me.
Oh, sorry.
It's me.
Oh, Debbie, you was that a bonus point?
Yeah.
Ah, that's right then. Hope I didn't give you two.
Doesn't matter, Mary's in the lead.
All right, Debbie.
Oh, you're keeping score too?
No.
Debbie, yes. I think I might have given you too many points that last one. I might have got confused.
That's fine. That's fine by me if you give her more points.
No, it's not fine. How many points do you make that you've got, Debbie?
Pardon?
How many points do you think you've got?
More than me.
Is that a question?
Yes. No. Just. How many points do you think you have at this point, this stage?
I don't know. I'm not keeping score.
Oh, well, that's not very helpful, is it?
Just take one away.
So this is your question, yes? Have we established this?
Yes.
What is Dinesh's first name?
Alexander.
She says it as if she didn't really know. She wasn't quite sure. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What range of volcanoes erupted?
He wasn't very clear about it, was he?
My notes just stopped working.
Oh dear.
I'm trying to go through my notes.
He's stalling.
I wasn't very clear about it. I rewound him several times and I couldn't work out what it was totally.
I think Mary knows.
Yeah.
It's something called the Ipachi something. I don't know.
Right, Mary, if you can come up with a more accurate version of what he said.
I don't have subtitles, sorry.
Mary, what do you reckon it is?
It's the Esperage.
That's exactly right, so I'm going to give you the points.
Wow, I really needed the subtitles there, because I've got Eperek Toucan.
And by the way, Kirby.
Yeah, see, for once I had subtitles, and that helped a lot.
I didn't use subtitles.
Actually. Usually I don't have subtitles.
Mary.
I use subtitles when I have them.
Mary.
Yes.
What does Dinesh request to be read?
Oh, I know.
Don't know.
Ooh, point for me. Debbie.
Was it a book about foreign travel, perhaps?
Oh, dear.
Perhaps it was.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I just found it. Okay.
Andy.
Score update.
Not yet. Andy's go, yeah.
I won't change much.
What is the name of the Australian chef?
I know.
Brilliant. Just brilliant.
But ain't Bruce, so yep, no chance.
Go on in, Kirby.
Griffin.
Gryffindor.
Right, score update. For the viewers who will get an advance notice of score update, there it is. Before we do the score update, we've got Jeff Waddle says burrito. Then he says, this scoring is like the Eurovision. Get to the last round and just add whatever who you want to win. I demand a recount. It's perfectly fair and understandable, this scoring system. And then he says Cobber. Talk about the Eurovision Song Contest. I quite enjoyed that scoring system, the Eurovision Song Contest.
Isabella looked like she wasn't anticipating fun.
What do you mean?
The picture you took of Isabella looking sulky next to the Eurovision.
Yeah, she didn't want to watch it.
But I did
unfortunately, she was outvoted by the rest of the family who did want to watch it. And they just installed, actually, in the caravan, because our original TV wasn't working properly, a brand spanking new one with Freeview HD on it. So I watched it in its full glory. It's very good, it was, too.
I've missed bunches of pictures, apparently, on Facebook, because Julia's been in town, and I've been watching various shows with her and staying off of Facebook for the most part.
Oh, yeah, we were doing a score update, weren't we? Sorry
about
that.
Yes, we were.
Right, in last place, with no points, it's Andy. In fourth place with 12 points, it's me. Enjoyed second place with 13 points each, it's Kirby and Mary. And then the lead with 16 points, it's Debbie.
Yay.
Debbie's smarty pantsness is usually the leads to her downfall, which is sort of always the most amusing part of this quiz. Right, Debbie, this is your question.
Yes.
If I can find it.
Yeah, she could say that she's going to make the most points and then she'd win.
Debbie?
Yes?
Who is Janos?
Who is who?
Janos.
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, good.
He's one of the guards.
Specifically?
I know, I know. The security corridor guard?
I got any points on that, Mary?
He's the hallway guard that kind of comes onto Astrid.
Precisely the right answer.
Fair enough.
Kirby.
Master.
All right. Where does the chef come from?
I think I know.
The kitchen. I don't know.
Right. Go on then, Andy.
Is it Brisbane?
The answer is Woolloomooloo.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Okay.
Bit late now.
And you've still got your joker to play, yeah? Right, Debbie.
So have I.
Debbie, where does Salamander keep his secret shuttle?
In the records room.
Kirby.
It can't be me again.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
How many years... No. Shut up.
Master?
How many years have Colin and Mary been in the shelter?
I think I know.
I don't remember.
Ooh.
I'm losing now.
Go on in, Andy.
Is it 5 years?
Ah! And that's got to be worth one of these.
Why didn't you play in Joker?
Because it was only for 1 point.
Oh, exactly. Well, that would still have been more points than he's been getting.
Maybe so. Right then, whose question was that one? I've lost it.
It was Kirby.
That was somehow me, although I don't think it was supposed to be
very
me.
Short questions, so
Mary.
Round quick.
Yes. Never mind that. What date is on the piece of newspaper found by Swan?
2017. I don't know the day date.
I'm afraid you need the actual day date.
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
Hang on, let me scroll down to that part of my notes. August 16th, 2017.
Damn. And I've got you down as well, Kirby.
All right, I'll give you a point for that, Kirby, but can anybody say what the day was? Because that was also on there.
Friday. Oh.
Thank you, Andy. Right, so score update for the listeners, viewers, they are score update. There we are. See that? Yeah, there we go.
No, I can't see it. I'm not viewing.
It's a bit of a delay, isn't there?
I'm not watching either.
In last place with 2 points, it's Andy.
Yay.
In joint fourth place, or was it third?
Third.
Third place, Kirby and Mary with 14 points each.
Oh, I'm dropping back.
In second place with 17 points, it's me. Oh. And in the lead with 18 points, it's Debbie. All right. So we have another question. Get my pen ready.
Again?
This is Debbie's question.
Yep.
How did Astrid and Kent escape capture?
They ran away.
Run away.
They made a deal with Bruce.
Anybody?
No. Doesn't Astrid like break the window and act like there's been a shot and he lays on the bed with blood coming out of his head?
Well, ketchup, but yes. Yeah, you got the point. Kirby. You'd mentioned that, Debbie. You mentioned about the ketchup on the head.
Yeah, but I thought you meant initially.
No, don't. Mary knew what I was talking about.
Okay.
Right, she might have been because she listened to the previous version of this quiz we did when it was originally out. For a couple
Are these
of
the same questions? Should I have listened to that one?
Of course they're the same questions. Bad luck, Kirby. Right then.
Darn.
Kirby? Yeah.
Should he work at it if he doesn't have
to? Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
How many people work in the research centre?
Officially, I know.
Everybody got ahead of me there.
Yeah. Kirby, how many people work?
30.
Go on then, Andy.
12.
Yeah, right. It's officially 12, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mary.
Okay. Yes.
What is the emergency call?
I know.
Oh, yes.
Of course you know.
Yeah.
001 Forrester Redhead.
Whoa!
Got to the end.
Yeah. Extra point. Whoa, that was impressive. Andy.
Okay.
Who is ordered to detain Bennick?
Forrester.
Points coming thick and fast around. He should have played his joker on that one because unfortunately that means, of course.
He forgot, yes.
That, of course, that there's when a couple of points going to me in a minute.
Kind of useless.
Right, and that was the last of the questions apart from the two free for all questions that are coming up right now. So, are we ready?
Yeah.
There's two chances here for Andy to play as Joker. What is Salamander's last words?
Ah!
It is essentially, but that's not a word, is it? That's an exclamation. I'm talking about his last word.
I know.
Go on then. What's his name again? Kirby.
No.
Point for me. Anybody? Sorry?
If you're going to die, then you're going with me.
Another point for me. The answer is, and now I'm going to kill you. Thank you for gifting me all those points. And Andy, of course, for gifting me the extra 2 points I'm going to get because he didn't bother playing his Joker. But there is one more chance, and this is it. Who played Bennick?
Joker!
Go on, then.
Louis Johns.
Could have got it in the nick of time, eh?
Well done.
Yeah.
Really. Hey, Jonathan, I always got the last minute.
Okay, right.
Like Scotland earlier.
Just chat amongst yourselves for once while I tote up these calls.
Scotland won the 7. Scotland won the 7.
Yeah, it's not proper rugby, is it? It's not proper rugby.
It was still good.
It's not.
That's not the sort of talking amongst yourselves I was referring to.
We are talking about
yeah, and I can't join in that sort of talking because it's sports. Yes.
I'm watching
Kirby.
There's egg underwater.
Kirby, seriously, do you actually have any plans to come to the UK sometime?
Yes.
When?
I have no idea.
Kirby, I'm sorry, mate. Serious question, do you actually have any plans to come to the UK? Because I would love to take you to either rugby or cricket match.
And, well, I'd rather go to a cricket match, and I've got somewhat of a vague plan to maybe do something if Eddie, the guy who runs Kanji Team, puts together
Eagle
something.
Edwards.
Huh?
If Eddie the Eagle Edwards, is that what you're saying?
No.
Eddie Owen.
I'm thinking of starting a GoFundMe page so I can come out to ConGT.
That's appropriate.
Well, you ought to take a look at what's going on this weekend at Timegate.
I know, I'm very interested in Timegate.
I think we'll just have to come over
and stop over for a few months. Convention.
Yeah, ConGT is a lot of fun, but we can't afford the sort of people. We can't afford the sort of people they get at Timegate.
Mm.
I mentioned earlier that they're going to have Paul McGann and...
You're drifting.
Mary stuck to him.
You're drifting, because we've got to find the final scores to talk about here.
Well, I'm boss, so...
You told us to talk amongst
And remember this, there has to be a winner with this quiz. In last place, with 14 points, Kirby.
Bloody hell, I think I'm last! Blimey, how was I not last?
In fourth place... Or joint term. Yeah, in fourth place, sorry. We're with 19 points. Andy? No, Kirby. I'm getting confused here.
What?
Kirby was last. Yeah. In fourth place with 19 points is Andy. In third place with 21 points, me. joint leaders at the moment, because we're going to have a sudden death tiebreaker question, is Debbie and Mary, both for 36 points each.
Now, how did this happen? Explain.
How was I not last?
Well, the preliminary scores were Debbie 18, Kirby 14, Mary 18, Andy 9, and Kirby... Oh, of course, there's plot here. That's right, Andy 9... Hang on, I've got your score wrong, Andy. No, I can't add up.
It's made it way too complicated.
Kirby, Alan, Adam, I must be bottom. I must
You weren't bottom. No, right. So, the scores prior to the doubling up was Debbie had 18, Kirby had 14, Mary had 18, Andy had 9, and I had 21.
I had the same number as Debbie, wow.
So, Debbie and Mary chose me to be in the lead, which I was. So therefore, their scores are doubled to 36. Okay. So therefore, there is a tiebreak question coming along in a moment. Before, I'm just going to read a couple of these.
But wait, I still don't understand. Did I miss something there?
Yeah.
I thought I had more points than Andy.
Yeah. Well,
you had 14 points. Andy had 9 points.
You said had Kirby below me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got confused.
I got confused.
Right.
But
so
Andy,
I came last.
Yeah, okay. Why did I do that? Oh, you put me off then. You were talking about inane stuff.
Well, like the scores.
No, the rugby. Right. Okay, back to that. And in the last place with 9. Yeah, you're right
Thank
there.
Thank you. Yeah, okay.
Thank you. That's better.
Okay, Kirby, no problem, mate. Fourth
place. I was really second.
Oh, stop it. Tiebreaker question. Before we do the tiebreaker question, we've got some thread things coming out. Jeff Waters says, 12 people at the research centre due to EU cutbacks. Robin Lansdowne, everybody.
Yay.
Ah, the quiz, the very dictionary definition of corruption. That's rubbish. This is perfectly understandable and fair. If it was that corrupt, I'd win.
True.
Jeff, do you mind true, Mary? Thank you very much. You've just about got a tiebreaker question. I could deduct a point at this stage. Jeff Waddle said this is a stitch-up, and Adam T. Butcher says Adam was bottom earlier. That's because they kept on getting the questions right, Alan. That's why I was bottom. And also, the fact is, this quiz was done before, and all they had to do is listen to the episode it was previously on and write down all the answers, and they could have got all the questions right.
That's too easy, though, isn't it?
That's why you can do that quiz, right. Too. Yeah, should we be going back and looking at...
Tribaker question for both Debbie and Mary. What was Salamander's first name, his Christian name?
I know.
Yeah. Oh, we'd better give it to her, because
What a surprise.
Fred.
Well, go on then, Debbie.
Was it Ramon?
Yo, go Debbie!
Wins the quiz.
All right.
Just skin off teeth.
No, nothing corrupt in that.
Where in the episode do they say this person name?
Yes, Kirby.
Master, I demand a recount. What you should have done, since they were tied in at first, then you should have done the sudden death question and then done the doubling. Because that would have made me win.
Why? Why would, how would it have made you win?
Because Debbie would have won and then I would have gotten the double.
Do it next
There's
time.
Nothing like a bad loser, is there?
Kirby, you already have the scarf, so be quiet.
Essentially, he's got a very good point there.
Yes, he has.
So therefore, Kirby wins the quiz.
Kirby wins it. How many more is this week?
I prefer that. Oh, God. Oh, God, it's playing on iTunes. I've got to try and quit iTunes now before it plays the next song. Oh, I wonder what the next track's going to be. I'm going to leave it running for a bit.
Because I refuse to have it on my computer.
Ooh. Oh, kids again, by example. enough of that. Right, Doctor Who news.
Oh, is there news?
Apparently so. I haven't looked at Doctor Who news for quite a long time, so I've probably missed quite a lot. So, Debbie, what's the Doctor Who news then?
Don't know. I'm looking at Lavazzi.
Being finished. The Eighth Doctor's 20th anniversary special offer.
My favourite of our sponsors.
Never mind that. Big Finish have got an 8th Doctor 20th anniversary special offer on. As Mary's fancy bit, 8th incarnation marks 20 years since walking up a mortuary slab in San Francisco, Big Finish is running a series of special offers this weekend, which I'm not going to refer to, but they're all very good, including a storm warning, which has been permanently reduced to £2.99.
Oh yeah, so that's a good story.
Go to bigfinish.com and you'll see a few offers of Ninth Doctor stories. Eighth Doctor stories, which are well worth getting. Big Finish, War Doctor 3, Agents of Chaos. Big Finish has announced a further details of the third release in its War Doctor series, starring John Hurt and Jacqueline Pierce. Anybody listened to any of the War Doctor Big Finish stories yet?
Or they just not out? Yeah. I've been listening.
Cool. Legends of River Song is out as a book. Next Stop Everywhere. You like books. Target Exhibition Extended. An exhibition showcasing the original cover artwork for the Target range.
Oh, I went there the other week. It's well worth going to.
Is it? Oh, good.
Yes. I mean, I was a bit far from everybody else, but...
Didn't we talk about that before?
We did, yes. But,
yeah, what was it?
I did go, yes. I went the other week, I took Stormy with me, and it's not just Doctor Who Target, it's more, it's a whole comic thing, and it goes back to the Hogarth comic strips from the 1880s, I believe it is, and it's a whole sort of comic strip. What they've got there is the original Target novelisation covers,
yes,
full-size screen, from the, what, I guess the 70s and 80s. And it's well worth going to see if you get a chance. I think it's open until June the 5th. But did you say it's been extended, did you say, Adam?
Sorry, I drifted. Then what did you say?
Did somebody say it's been extended? Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
If you get a chance,
I guess
it's only for Adam and Debbie the only chance you can see. If you get a chance to go up there, it's well worth seeing. And there are some really good pictures. And what they've got is the full-size, must be, what, 18 by 12 pictures, with novels beside them.
Not all of them, because I know Alistair Pearson has not been included.
I didn't notice that. You all made that.
I thought he had.
No.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
There's about.
I don't think he's impressed as well either.
There's about 30 of them.
Because he posted on Facebook that he was planning on being there at the opening, but he had something that kept him from going.
He's not.
So I thought he was going to it because he had artwork there.
No, so it's about 30 covers there. And what they've got the full-size covers, and they've got the covers of the books themselves beside it. So you can see the covers without the titles on it, so to speak.
Well, you may notice I did post a picture of my cover, which is the Terror of the Zygons cover, which has got my initials on it. So essentially that's what they look like. It's the cover without the
But it's interesting, because what it shows you is it's comic art, so to speak, from the ages, from the 1870s to the 1880s of the Hogarth, which probably Kirby, Mary won't mean a lot to you. Adam, Debbie might mean something to you. We think it might be in Punch and Private Eye. Yeah. And it takes it through there. There's a lot of stuff from the Second World War. And it does finish up with the Target novelizations. And it's worth of you to get a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have covers by Chris Achilios, Andrew Skilleter, Roy Knipe. Jeff Cummins, yes. And David McAllister. So you're right, they don't have any of Alistair's.
No, they don't. Anyway, back to news. The 12th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver is to be released in the summer. This actually was posted on our birthday, which we forgot to mention. We glossed over in some way. I do believe it's our 7th birthday.
I mentioned it the last time we recorded.
Yes, we didn't actually mention it during the show, so I'm mentioning it now. 7 years
Yes,
old.
We did mention it during the show. Yeah, I mentioned it.
Yeah, but we hadn't passed the 7th birthday point. We have now.
No, we hadn't, but I said that we were about to.
Well, we have now.
That's my job. Is
happy birthday to us. Like I was here at the beginning, everybody. So is Alicia, but she's doing stuff. She's doing silly hours, working and spending a lot of time with a boyfriend. The funny thing is, actually, to go back to an Alicia story, I was filming a wedding at Apple Durkham House on Saturday, and the registrars turned up to interview the bride and groom, and the registrar looked a little bit familiar. I said, after she spoke to the groom, I said, "You're not Josh's mum, are you?" She said, "You're not Alicia's dad, are you?" Because that registrar was Kath Hall, which is Alicia's boyfriend's mum, and Alicia spends a lot of time at her house. So,
is he a nice boy?
That's the yellow white for you. He will be a nice boy if he returns £140 I lent Alicia the other day tomorrow, as he promised to.
Does he like Doctor Who?
No, I don't think he's ever referred to liking Doctor Who.
Well, that's one nice thing with my oldest daughter's boyfriend. He likes Doctor Who.
Yes, of course, that's a be-all and end-all. What I will say is that Alicia has spent a lot of time with smiles on her face recently. So if he makes her happy and puts a smile on her face, then I don't care whether he likes Doctor or not. Anyway, right. Live thread is going to end in a few minutes' time. Do apologise. It's not my fault. It's their fault for waffling on when I'm trying to drive the podcast.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We've got some more comments.
You come told us to talk amongst ourselves.
Shut up. Got some comments come through. It's Adam was bottom earlier from Alan T. Butcher. Jeff Waddle, I won. Alan T. Butcher, sorry, I meant Adam's bottom was earlier. Jeff Waddle said, I missed
the Well, that's you, bug, at the minute, mate.
Shut up. Family show. I've missed Wallander for this. I'm getting confused. There are six bodies, and the suspects are her from the farmhouse and Mary Blitz Lang. Right. Anyway, the Sonic Screwdriver.
As far as bottom goes, it's not Midsummer Night yet.
Anyway, the Sonic Screwdriver is coming out in the summer. It's the 12th okay. Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver. Well, it's actually not a lot of news. Alec Wheel has passed away.
Yes.
He was a senior camera operator and did at least Master. 159 episodes of Doctor Who. Yes?
Master, well, there is one bit of news that you were kind of... it happened just a few days after you last saw him. It's been 20 years since
John Pertwee
died.
Indeed.
Remember, you were able to meet him just a few days before.
Yep, and the video is on YouTube.
Yes.
Also features Alistair Pearson and a few other people talking about people. I had a message from our father. That's quite ironic since I just celebrated our 7th birthday. Message from our father came through today. Because last time he was on the Isle of Wight, he wasn't very well, so we couldn't see him. But he's back. Yes, Paul Wilson is back on the island at the beginning of June, and we'll be meeting up with him for a
Billy's around somewhere then.
No, I think he made an excuse. He heard you were coming along, and suddenly it was all off.
No.
But yeah, so hopefully going to see him and his lovely wife in the week leading up to the Isle of Wight Festival. So.
Cool.
Looking forward to that. I haven't actually answered his invite yet, but I'll do that after the show.
Maybe should.
Lindsay Hollis has joined. We do love Lindsay Hollis. A big drink of Stella for Lindsay Hollis.
Lovely, I'm sure, followed by a great big belch.
She's lovely. We love Lindsay. Anyway, right. The show's about to finish online, sorry. So unfortunately for Lindsay, she just joined as the thread's going to end. It's not. Oh, how many? 1 minute... Oh no, we got 8 seconds. So,
yeah, oh, no.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you for watching.
Bye y'all.
Don't say yet. Yeah. We're gone. We're done. The show has finished on Facebook, right? And if you want to watch,
well, has it finished officially though?
Not on Facebook. It's finished. But we're carrying on at the moment. Moments in Time. It's about. It's about the gunfighters. I'm going to move along that one. Yeah, it's not a lot of news, actually. Debbie, why is there not a lot of news? We haven't been together for a couple of weeks.
It's not Debbie's fault. Can you say give her a chance?
I will not give her a chance. I've suddenly got this craving for a Marmite sandwich.
Wheel, 1935 to 2016.
Yes, he said that already.
That's all. I'm just scrolling through to see if there's anything.
I've got a message from Andy Nunn. He says, sorry, Adam, the operation has affected my... Yeah, we'll move on for that one.
You want me to read that out, Adam?
All right, okay, Deb, I'm going to have a little rest now because I need to... The Stella's getting quite low down in the can, so I'll have to lean back to drink it. So if you could cover the very important issue of sponsors.
Oh, sponsors,
yes.
Eh?
Yes, please.
Which one would you like to start with? If you happen to have Lavazzi.
The best one.
Who wants .co.uk?
No, I've got Lavazzi.co.uk open.
All right, Lavazzi.co.uk. Is that Lavazzi?
Yes, it's Lavazzi.
And are they .co?
.uk.
And UK is what? Thank you. You sure about that?
They have absolutely wonderful scarves. I can tell you that.
Yes, yeah. They're absolutely brilliant.
And I'm going to be showing off one next weekend.
Oh,
that's what she said.
I'm afraid there is nothing majorly new to report in the Doctor Who scarves, ties, and wonderful jumpers and umbrellas. There's a little sale going on some of the brollies, which I will probably partake of eventually. And it's still gorgeous, still lovely. I still am lusting after the Pandorica Open scarf, and hopefully one day we'll acquire it. But other than that, they've got some lovely stuff of Sherlock Holmes, Star Trek, and lots of other lovely bits. Definitely worth going over and having a look at our wonderful sponsor. And now, who do you think we've gone to now?
Is it
who1.co.uk? Is it who1.co.uk?
It is indeed who1.co.uk.
Oh, not who2.
Not who2, no. Now, who1.co.uk have got lots of new bits and bobs in, which is terrific. They've got coasters, salt and pepper shakers, Battlefield on book. Oh, I want that. I really want that book.
Got that.
Yeah, it's one of the funnier ones. I love that. Dalek mug, that's pretty cool, but I've already got a Dalek mug, so I won't be able to get away with it. But there's a pencil case with cybers on it, and Daleks and the TARDIS, and there's milk jug. King's Demons is out on CD, $19.99. Ooh, 320 minutes, lovely. Genesis of the Daleks in paperback as well is on there. And, oh, goodness me, they've been quite prolific this week. Sugar bowl, oh my goodness, chopping board, that's me, kitchen heaven.
Oh, I like the wallet.
Yeah, the wallet's nice, isn't it? Fleece blanket, definitely going to have that. Oh my, Golden Bennett, there's more pages. Zabi is released on, he's got in book format here. Vengeance on Varos, Visitation, War Doctor 2, Infernal Devices, that's £30. The TARDIS Vortex mug's pretty cool. Adam, you're going to have to choose something, because unfortunately Who One sent me that email saying they couldn't get the number plate and I can't find it.
I can't choose my own present, but it's the thought that counts, Debbie, and I appreciate
it. How about the chopping board then?
what if she gets you something you already have? You already have everything.
Yeah, I got you a plate last Christmas, didn't I?
I did suggest you go to Australia, Nicky from Billy Kirkwright. He's got one already, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Go and pinch his. And Billy, I think, in deference to the master, you should send Adam your number plate.
Oh, that's not
fair. Don't be horrible.
No, come on, mate, come on. No, this is a man who we all have deference to, who sent this podcast. We would not be here if it weren't for Adam. Therefore, I think Billy should send...
Billy, take no notice of him.
Take no notice. I'll find him something, don't worry. I'm still working on it.
No need.
Okay, and the next sponsor...
Sponsor?
Yes. Sponsor.
Okay.
Oh, Tom just dropped something.
Do I need to waft the air a little bit?
It's a small island, isn't it? So, yeah.
audible.co.uk/20MB. And if you haven't already gone over there, please go and enjoy a free trial book. And 30 days free, then only $7.99 a month. And it's really good. I really enjoy it. You can save up to 70% on audiobooks, and it's fantastic. Excellent. So take your pick from more than 200,000 titles.
Well done, Debbie.
Thank you.
Okay.
I got that one right then, did I?
Okay. Go, Debbie, yo.
Next week, or week after next. So is it next week? That's about week 9 days' time, isn't it?
Tuesday.
We'll be looking
at the 31st, we're going
Web up. Of Fear.
Yes.
Brilliant story.
And...
have we lost Barry?
No. Oh, I'm just listening to the sponsors.
And that will be a morning?
10 o'clock.
10 in the morning.
At the moment, it's on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. And Debbie's going to come round, hopefully, with Isla.
Yeah, I'll bring Isla round.
And the good thing about that is if
Yes, it's 5 a.m. It's one of our grand old 5 a.m.ers.
You realise...
Hang on a sec. He's not going to want to sit with us.
I'm just saying, the good thing about that... Oh, forget me, finish.
It's a bit early for a glass of wine.
Women. Anyway, as I was saying...
Oh, you can have one. Go ahead.
Let me finish. 10 in the
morning. Even that's...
Oh, forget what I was going to say.
My record was Benidorm last year, course to 4 in the morning, first pint.
Right, can I say what I'm going to say now? I forgot what I was going to say. I told you I was going to forget. What were you talking about before you interrupted me and wouldn't let me get a word in edgeways?
You were talking about
next podcast.
The Web of Fear is where you've got.
Web of Fear.
Oh, yeah, saying if Debbie does bring round Isla, the funny thing about that is that if Alpha Debbie is working at the time, Isla will be winding her up, so that would be quite good.
Yeah. Don't do that to Alpha.
No, she likes children.
For anyone listening, we were possibly going to be doing a live podcast from Timegate.
Yeah.
But there's part of the reason we're not going to do the podcast. I'm just explaining to people listening. Mary is not going to be available because she's out of town next weekend. And I want to go hear Paul McGann and Nick Briggs at Timegate, which is going to occur at the same time we would normally record.
Hang on, so you mean Mary's not slogging Paul McGann at the same time?
No, she's...
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to be there. Maybe.
Oh, Mary, I'm disappointed.
Well, change your plans. You can still come down.
Oh, dear. I'm disappointed in Mary, honestly.
Anyway, as I was trying to say, Web of Fear...
Yeah, come on down.
Web of Fear next week.
That's what Paul McGann said.
Mary, you're getting a bit flustered.
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry, Mary. Sorry about Mary.
We're talking about my boyfriend.
Anyway, as I say, next week we'll be seeing again a bit nearer than we have the previous time recorded, so a bit closer together episode-wise. Web of Fear, please join us, and thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient with us, for hanging around for us to come back again. But until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Bye.
Services.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by WhoWon.co.uk, Lavazzi.co.uk and Audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.